Interior. Night. Troy and Crispy are looking through Big Finish Studios. Wow, Troy. Gosh, look at all these Jackie Tyler box sets.
There's a lot of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's more Sex Doctor box sets here than any had TV episodes.
Yeah. Gosh. You know what, Troy?
What?
I really wish I knew the story as to how Big Finish got started.
Wow, that's a really good question. And it would certainly explain how Doctor Who survived the 90s. Any idea where to start?
This podcast.
What?
Yeah, it's not a Big Finish audio drama you're listening to. This is a podcast called Who's There? With your host, Troy Crispy.
Welcome. Let's talk about how Doctor Who survived the 90s with the help of Big Finish Productions. Roll the intro!
Hello and welcome back to Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. My name is Troy, his name is Crispy, and we're the hotline that accepts your calls from anywhere in time and space. And today we're talking... Nah, I'm kidding, I'm Crispy. I'm Crispy, dude, I know
that. Is that intentional?
Yeah, it's in the script. It's in the script that says Troy.
Right, he's read it off the script. I was suddenly thinking, I know he's just woken up, but blimey, he's forgotten who we are.
No. I know that I'm Crispy and he's Troy and we are accepting your calls from everywhere in time and space. And today is a bit of a fun one, Troy. A bit of a fun one.
That makes a change on here, doesn't it?
I know. This is the first fun podcast we've had in over 100 episodes. So, Troy, do you know what's happening today?
I have a bit of an explanation, but I think you can offer it in a slightly better way because you have more personal investment in one of the things that happened here. I am a bystander, a witness, you might say. So
this is true.
Explain to everyone what is happening because I'm along for the ride on this.
Well, I last year went to an event called An Afternoon with Janet Fielding or A Day with Janet Fielding, and it was fantastic. But one of the guests that they had there was Jason Hay-Gallery, who is the CEO of Big Finish. Can you believe that?
You spoke with John Big Finish himself?
I spoke with the man. The man. The myth, the legend.
Not John Wick.
Jason Hay-Gallery.
Whenever I hear that quote, I always think of John Wick now from the trailer. The man, the myth, the legend.
No, this guy may as well be John Wick, because he had some serious moves in revitalizing interest in Doctor Who in the 90s with Paul McGann. And I had a lot of questions to ask him, but I asked him, so what's the Big Finish story? And he went on for a whole 15 minutes about, and he told me in detail how Big Finish got started, kind of how people got interested, how Paul McGann basically became one of the longest serving doctors, even though he's only had like one or two TV appearances. Can you believe that?
Crazy. Three, though. Three. He's had three.
What's the third?
Power of the Doctor. He doesn't do robes.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I was counting. I was counting the TV movie in that one. I wasn't
Night
counting
of the Doctor, baby.
Was that aired on television?
There, red button. Close enough.
Yeah, well, we don't have Red Button here in Australia, but you know what we do have? Disney Plus.
The point is, you say that he's the John Wick of Doctor Who. Well, maybe he looked at Paul McGann, he looked at the Doctor Who license, and he went, yeah, I'm thinking Doctor Who's back.
Yeah, that's literally
John Wick
what he
reference.
Did.
There you go.
So, yeah, I've been sitting on this exclusive interview for over a year, trying to find a home for it, and we're better than Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. So if you could all please like the video and subscribe for this the dedication today, for giving you the exclusive, giving you the insight.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press 1 year later, one calendar year later.
You got the photo with Janet, got it printed off, then met her again and got her to sign it, then hung it up on your wall, then moved house and hung it up on the new wall. Now we have the interview.
Now we have the interview. Yep, correct.
Amazing. And on top of that, we also asked for people's calls on the craziest Big Finish story ideas you could all come up with. So we're going to interject those in between. We're going to split the interview up into about 3-5-ish minute segments and also have some callers. So, Crispy, what should we start with? Should we have a caller first?
We're going to start with a caller.
So let me just check the brief, because I described this in a very particular way. I said, we want your best, funniest, or craziest ideas for Big Finish audio dramas. So it could be any of those. It could be brilliant, could be crazy, or it could just be really funny. But are our audience funny? I don't know.
They can be. Here we go. Here we have,
let's find out.
We have Dave here. Hello, Dave.
Dave. What have you got, Dave?
They should make a Big Finish about the slab from Love and Monsters and what they got up to. That'd be funny, you know?
You heard that one already, didn't you, Crispy?
Yeah, I knew that one was going to be
you,
good
you
straight
to
go.
Pick that one first, didn't you?
Yeah.
The slab. Okay, for context, he's talking about Ursula. He wants an episode of Elton and Ursula the Paving Slab. They've even got a bit of a love life. I don't think anyone needs to see that.
No one
needs to know. No. That's how we... Oh dear.
Let's take
another caller, please.
Caller.
Let's have another one.
Yeah. We have
Mr.
Scarlo.
Save us, please. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the best Big Finish audio drama would have Paul McGann's Eighth Doctor, Saul Goodman, Chloe Bennett, Chris Marshall from the hit show Death in Paradise, the Cybermen, set in 12th century Seville. It'll begin like Boomtown, they're all just having a great time, but then they find out there's this weird mind-controlled creature working in league with the Cybermen. But funnily enough, remember, Saul Goodman has powers, so he uses them.
Like a god in human clothing! Lightning bolts shoot from my fingertips!
And then he defeats the Slime Man and the mind control thing, and they all go home. Have a great time.
Wow.
Connor McRae, what have you done? What have you started with these, like, putting audio quotes into episode? Oh, man. Man.
I feel like that's the second time we've had someone mention Saul Goodman in our
I think
like,
it might be,
before.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on? What? Is there a crossover there? Is there interest there?
Better call Crispy. I'm just wondering why you keep looking to the side. Is your girlfriend currently listening in or something?
Yeah, someone's looking in at the podcast trying to throw me off.
And tell her I said hi.
Very,
and tell her
very
I said to
cheeky
keep doing
person.
It.
Troy says hi. Yeah, she says hi.
Tell her I also said keep doing it. Make sure she hears the whole thing.
No, she's run off now.
All right, okay, of course she has. Yeah, very convenient, folks. Anyway, sorry, it was the Eighth Doctor. It was Chloe Bennett, who is the actress who plays in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've seen her being mentioned, Quake. I've not seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I know everyone really likes her.
Yeah.
Saul Goodman, and who was... there was one hell of
Chris
a lineup
Marshall.
There. And Chris Marshall. So
from
another
Death
Doctor,
in Paradise.
If any of the betting shops are be to believe over the last 20 years. So... plenty of intriguing characters there.
Very, very good, Mr. Scarlo. Or should
Thank
I
you
say,
very much.
If you tried to pitch it to the man you're about to listen to, Jason Haigh Gallery, I feel like you might get rejected. But I don't know. That's just a hunch. That's just
wow.
a hunch.
What a big finish to have for his feature in the episode there, Crispy.
Sorry, mate. But hey, you want to know the story of Big Finish?
Let's hear part one of this exclusive Heart of the Press interview.
Jason Haigh Gallery, hi. How are you?
Very good, thank you very much.
That's awesome. So I was just wondering, what is the Big Finish story? How did it start?
Oh, right.
You can trim it down.
Well, Big Finish basically started in the early 90s. Big Finish was a production company set up to do a film for Sci-Fi Channel Europe. And it never happened. It was in development hell for 4 years. And it went through all these different versions of the script. The budget went from here to here to here to here to here to here. And at one point, they said, we want you to do a budget where we spend another £2 million. And all I did was put in a space battle. Because it was a sci-fi thing, I said that space battle will cost £2 million. And because I was getting so fed up, and I couldn't go back to the writer and say, do it again, do it again, do it again. So we didn't. So that was a very despondent time in some respects. And then I had dinner with Gary Russell, who I'd known since I was about 15. And Gary said, we're thinking of going to the BBC and asking them if we could get the rights to do the audio versions of Doctor Who. And we need someone to do all the business side of things. And I said, that sounds like something I'd love to do. And I said, more than that, I've actually got a production company that's all set up and ready to go. And he went, great. So that's how that happened. Obviously, as he has said many times before, Gary, in all the projects he does for me, he comes along and spends all my money. That's how he views it. We did an animated series over in Australia called Prisoner Zero for ABC. Oh. And that was Gary spending all my money again. And basically, we had that dinner, went to see the BBC, and the BBC said, "What have you done?" Now, what we had done, obviously, was a set of amateur Doctor Who audio dramas called the Audio Visuals. Now, I was a minor part of that. I came along, did a bit of acting, very bad acting, I must hasten to add. It was horrendous. And did sound effects and did a lot of other little things. But it was Gary who was pushing that forward with Bill Baggs and Nick Briggs. And we felt we couldn't really show them those because they were amateur. But we learnt a lot. The boys, Nick and Gary, had learnt a lot from it. And John Ainsworth. And effectively, what we did was we said, well, if we're not going to get Doctor Who immediately, we will go off and do Bernice Summerfield. So we inquired about the New Adventure range of books and said, could we adapt these for audio drama? They said, absolutely, because they were looking for new things to do with them. And so we did the first four, went back to the BBC, let them hear the first two, and they went, oh, OK, we get it now.
Yeah. They understand.
We get it. It's good enough. The quality's there, etc. And that the recording of Bernice Summerfield was 25 years ago.
Wow. This year,
and it was released in September. Exactly. Oh God, that's bad. And it was released in September, September 1998. And we went into the BBC and said, "This is what we've got in mind." And they went, OK, we've got this now. And they said, fine, we'll give you a three-year licence. Off you go.
Yeah.
So we did the 3 years. Originally, we were going to do six productions a year for 3 years, and one every 2 months, basically. And we announced it in Doctor Who magazine. I did probably the best thing I ever did in terms of marketing for Big Finish through the whole 25-year history was spending the money to put a free CD on the front cover of Doctor Who magazine, which was called Talking About My Regeneration. And basically, we put in elements from the episodes. We did behind the scenes. I think we put an episode in there. I can't remember, actually. I should know this.
I think there were episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End of part one.
Ooh, dramatic. Yeah. So, Troy, what do you think of Big Finish CEO Jason Hay-Gellery? What do you think of
him? I think it's extremely funny that you said, give me the trimmed down version. We've just heard the first part of this this answer. That's
true.
I mean, for one thing, I feel old. Him saying 1998, good grief. It's older than me. You're saying it's your age. It's older than me. He did this before I was born, mate. But really interesting. Really, really interesting to hear. And also, an animated series called Prisoner Zero.
Funny in Australia? Maybe Moffat was doing some online research when he was coming up with his idea for the 11th Hour and was like, oh, that hasn't been used in a while. Let's use Prisoner Zero.
I wonder
Prisoner
if the show got cancelled, because if it didn't leave every human's residence, it would be accelerated.
Nice. That's really good.
Thanks. That was really funny.
What I liked about it is that, you know, this guy is the CEO of Big Finish, and right at the start, you know, he was acting in stuff against his will. He was like, I don't really want to.
Yeah.
But he was acting in those Big Finish audios, and I think that kind of goes to show that, yeah, he kind of was on the ground of what we now know as the Big Finish audios, and I think that's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, wants to be fully involved and also save money. It's actually a very similar story to how Payday first got off the ground. A couple of lead characters were done by developers who had no voice acting experience. They were just like trying to cut costs, and they were like, we want this to get out the door. Let's voice some of the characters. And one of them both of them ended up being super iconic people for like 10 years. It's cool to see that happen somewhere else, because it just shows, as you said, the dedication. So I'm keen to hear part two, Crispy.
That is good. But before we do, I think we need to send these ideas off to Mr. Jason Big Finish, because
okay,
we have a lot in the inbox, Troy. We have a lot of ideas in the inbox.
We have quite a few, actually. Wow, yeah, we had even more than I thought. I don't think I was getting emails for all these.
Let's listen to Alphonse,
what have you got?
Alphonse? Hello?
Sup, boys. Love the show. My name is Alphonse, and I want to suggest two different Big Finish ideas, one serious and one more funny. The serious one, I'd be so keen to listen to an Impossible Girl box set with Clara and the Great Intelligence and actually see the stories the Intelligence messes up and how Clara fixes them. The second one, I'd love a Nardole box set where the TARDIS essentially kidnaps Nardole and gets him stuck in random places. While all Nardole wants to do is go back home, tell off the Doctor for doing something stupid. See you, boys.
Look, I think we should have started with this one because...
Can the episode end as the TARDIS takes off and then we don't have to hear anything else?
What?
It was just a bit of a jab at Nardole. I was just having a bit of a jab. Just a bit of lighthearted banter, mate. Bit of lighthearted banter.
I love Nardi. I think those are both strong ideas.
They are.
If I'm honest.
Impossible Girl, it's crazy to think they haven't done that. I mean, Jenna Coleman would never do an audio drama for Big Finish. I mean, I can say with confidence.
I think much too expensive.
Yeah, well, not just that, but it's like what I said to you about the Comic-Con. It felt a bit like, you know, I think with her, she doesn't want to be typecast as any particular person, which I fully respect. So I feel like she wouldn't come back to Doctor Who now at all anyway, let alone for an audio drama. But that's not to say they couldn't get someone in. I mean, as much as it's crazy to think, I don't know why, but Matt Smith's never done Big Finish. They still have Jacob Dudman doing his voice.
I'm surprised. He does do a very good Matt Smith.
He's just a fantastic Matt Smith impression.
I'm surprised by that. But hey, look, Matt Smith's pretty expensive.
You could say in not doing it, he's become an enemy of the people.
Is that the play he's in recently? Okay, I understand these. All right, next call.
Thank you. I'm glad you at least asked the question, because I was really worried. I was going to say that you were going to just stare at me like, huh?
No.
Good ideas, Alphonse. I like that.
Let's see if Matteo has a better idea for us, shall we?
What's Matteo got to say?
That was good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Box set I want. That's never going to happen, but I can dream. I want my 12th Doctor Missy box set. Like, it takes place in Series 10. It's lovely. Well, I guess before Series 10, whenever. You know what I mean. But, it's not going to happen. Peter Capaldi, famously, is like, yeah, no Big Finish. So, womp womp. And we could get Jacob Dunman, but I don't really like his Capaldi voice. Also, funny answer, more Jackie Tyler box set. There we go. Bye-bye.
Felt contractually obligated to slide that in the 30 seconds. It doesn't like Jacob Dudman's Capaldi. I mean, to be fair, I haven't heard Jacob Dudman's Capaldi, but in my head I did think, how on earth can Bro do Matt Smith and then Peter Capaldi? Like, how is he doing that?
Jacob can do a really good David Tennant as well.
Really?
I think he's got a video on his channel where he does a lot of the Doctors.
Oh, I need to watch that for sure.
So no doubt that that's why Big Finish have him on the payroll, because he'd be cheaper than a lot of these big names, but, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
But he's done some good stuff. He was in a Netflix show that I saw recently, and I was like, okay, all right, good on you.
He's a screen actor as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Very,
very impressive stuff. Oh my god!
Is your girlfriend trying to distract you again?
She's doing some crazy dance moves outside my door right now.
Can we not see these dance moves? Is that not?
She's walking like an Egyptian.
Ask her if she can do them on the podcast. Make it really exciting for the Apple Podcast listeners.
No. She just got out of bed because I woke her up with my Doctor Who podcast that I do in
the
mornings.
She not got to go to work today, no?
No, Friday's off. Let's go.
Oh, wow, fantastic. Well, let's get this done so you could spend some time with her, you know, the lovebirds. Well,
but first, we have to spend some more time with the Big Finish CEO, Jason Hay-Gallery.
Let's do it.
You got to say welcome to part two.
Okay, disc inserted. To select audio navigation, press enter now.
And in those days, everyone had a CD player, and they got the CD, they listened to it and went, this is really good. And our sales for Sirens of Time, the first one we did, were massive, far more than we ever expected. And in those days, no internet. Mm. So the orders were taken by telephone and right in. on slips of paper and saying, I would like to buy this copy. Here's my check.
Yeah.
We didn't even have credit card facilities. And those were the days. And suddenly all this, you know, woke up one morning to this whole pile of posts that came in, and suddenly my office, because I'd been running a company, now there's many companies in the group now, but I've been running this company, and I said to the staff, oh, we're going to get a few phone calls. Can you just write down the details and the credit card numbers and all the rest of it? And they came. I came back into the office and they went, what have you done?
Yeah.
What have you done? It's like, what? It's like, we're inundated with calls. I was like, we're supposed to be doing a job here. It's like, oh, sorry. So very quickly, I had to employ someone to actually deal with distribution within the first, I think it was about within the first 4 or 5 months. The first 4 or 5 months I did it myself. And I was hand-packing. If you received Sirens of Time from Direct Mail back in the day, that was hand-packed by me. So we packed all this stuff up. I then got someone in to help us, and they were packing up, etc. Initially, all the boxes were in the hallway of my office. That became ridiculous. It then went into my garage. And then within 6 months of that, it was like, we need a warehouse. And it started to kick in like that. And it was such an exciting time, actually. It's interesting to look back on it now, because it's making me think about what happened. We didn't anticipate it being as successful as it was. And after the first two releases, Phantasmagoria being the second, I contacted Gary and said, we can't do these every 2 months. We have to do them monthly. And he went, wow, well, that's a problem. Because Gary was doing it part-time. He was being paid, but it was a part-time job. And he had another job. And it was like, what are we going to do? And it was like, you're going to have to go full-time. And he was like, right. So he became full-time. And within a short period after that, we got an office for him. Because he then needed some people to work with him. And it just expanded and expanded. And then having done, you know, we did about 13, 14 productions, and then we came up with the idea. It was Nick who suggested it, Dalek Empire, which was very successful, and led to Nick getting the Daleks in the TV show, because Russell heard them and was like,
oh, wow.
And when they came back to do the Doctor to do the Daleks in Doctor Who, when Russell was there, it was like, get Nick Briggs in, just get him to do it, and so we got. We started expanding, and we thought 16 a year. Are they going to do 16 a year? Which is, it was four single discs plus 12 double discs. So that's 24 plus four. So that's 28 discs a year. Now, yeah, you say that. We do 28 discs a month. In fact, if you think about it, but back then, yeah. So we did that sort of thing a month back then. Now, with all the different ranges, the different series we do, whether it's Survivors, Blake Seven, you know, Adam Adamant, Doctor Who, Torchwood, whatever. There's a lot of different things coming out. So we pushed it, and that happened. And then there was just more and more desire for new stuff, because it was the wilderness years.
Yes.
We were the only show in town at the time. And I remember going to... So fast forward a few years, it was doing really well. Everyone was very happy, and it was doing really well. Fast forward a few years, and Panopticon 2003. We'd convinced Paul McGann to come back. He'd done a series with us, and then he'd done a second series with us, which ended with a cliffhanger, which was the end of... Oh, God, I'm going to forget the name of the title. That's really bad. The end, the one before Zagreus. Oh, my God. That Neverland.
Okay.
Right. God, dear. So we'd had Neverland, and it had ended on a cliffhanger.
End of part two. Cliffhanger, cliffhanger, cliffhanger. Like I made the call. It's not like you just paused it and went, I'm going to leave it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's a wow. Cliffhanger. Wow. What do you reckon, Troy?
I mean, the biggest thing for me there was it finally answers the question of how the hell Nick Briggs was the voice of the Daleks, but also Big Finish Man. Like, how they... Because I imagine... I didn't know if he was CEO. I mean, obviously, now I know he's not, but I knew Nick Briggs was high up in Big Finish.
Yeah.
I knew he had, like, a lot of crazy decision, but I was like... Did he get there as a result of being the Daleks in Doctor Who? That's one hell of a curveball. But no, it makes much more sense knowing that he was established with Big Finish, was doing a Dalek voice, and Russell heard it and went, we can't compete, bring him in. Like, that's really cool. I'm fascinated by that. I didn't know any of that. And just hearing how the operation's set up, just imagining it. And the other question I have, and I wonder this, is they have other stuff in Big Finish other than Doctor Who. As he said, like Blake 7, things like that. Those must do well for them as well, because I don't feel like I see them promote them as much as Doctor Who. I mean, they know Doctor Who's their big audience, so obviously they rein that in. But there's a lot
very,
of other
very
stuff,
good
right?
Question.
Like, they must be self-sufficient as well as the Doctor Who stuff, otherwise they wouldn't still be doing them. They could easily go full send on Doctor Who, it'd be the only thing they do, and then still make enough money, I would imagine, right? Surely.
Maybe. Look, I think Doctor Who is probably their biggest range, but maybe I'm being biased. If you just... Yeah, well, look, there's a lot. They have a massive catalog. Actually, it is insane. Yeah, Blake 7, Benny Summerfield, the Avengers, not the Marvel ones.
No.
But they like, if you look, they have so many, and they've built such a catalog. And I think it's a real testament from the fact that they would set up a lot of this stuff in Jason's garage with all the orders, and people would send in their orders by check, with a check
not
attached.
Not even having credit cards in
Don't
full
even have
circulation.
A credit card. Look, I just admire the dedication and the things that this Big Finish did for Doctor Who, and kept it relevant and kept it mainstream. And as we'll find out in the final part, where we talk about Paul McGann really coming on board. And that's when things kind of took off, and it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting.
Well, come on, we gotta have some callers. I want to hear part three. Shall I pick one? I've not picked one
yet.
Yes,
for sure.
Let's have. You know what? Since he's inspired everyone, and we did just give him last week, I gave him the 1 minute license, and he's clearly already making the most of that. What masterpiece has Conor McRae cooked up for us this time?
Okay, hello, Conor McRae.
Why would I give one of my ideas to Big Finish when I can make it right now?
G'day, mate. Welcome to Australia on the beautiful Sunshine Coast. What's your name?
I'm the Doctor.
Nice to meet you, Doctor. Now, what do you do for a bloody job?
I'm a Time Lord.
Ah, you're a Time Lord, huh? Well, maybe you can help me with some time stuff. Can you make it so that the shops stay open past 7 p.m. on the Sunshine Coast? I mean, I'm going to get a chicken parma, and it's 7:01. And the shops are closed, and I can't feed my starving kids and pet wallaby. It's tragic.
Will the doctor keep the shops open past 7 p.m.? Will Clara find a suitable man on the Sunshine Coast? All this and more next time on Doctor Who.
No!
Oh my gosh.
He's got too much power. I think he should run the podcast at this point.
No, mate, he should run Big Finish.
Yeah, actually, good point. Have you still got Jason on call? Give him a ring and be like, hey, listen, I've got the perfect guy for you. Get Connor on board.
You want that new sound you're wanting?
you want to end every Big Finish episode with Capaldi going, no!
No!
Wow.
Oh, Connor.
That was sensational.
He cooked.
Yeah, wow. Do you want another one before we
let's have another
hear the
one.
Final
I can
part?
See your mouse is hovering over that of Mr. Jeremy Duncan. So what has Jeremy cooked up for us this time?
Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
Hi, Troy. Hi, Crispy. This is my pitch. So there's a Dalek, and this Dalek has been assigned to study all encounters with the Doctor, to monitor the Doctor at every given instance, and it forms a parasocial relationship with the Doctor, and the Dalek starts to change. Whether there's some kind of defect or whether the Dalek really is hearing the truth of what the Doctor is saying is evident. Throughout the story, the Dalek helps him inadvertently in different ways. When the Dalek finally decides to meet the Doctor, which is a mistake, the Doctor just espouses hate towards the Dalek, and it does not end well. Anyway, there you go.
Wow.
I assume that was his Discord ping in the middle of that, right?
I don't know. It could have been mine.
Could have been you. You haven't got Discord open. It can't have been yours.
Yeah, true. Wow.
Well, that's going to make everyone freak out who has Discord. Hope you enjoyed that. Wow, that's really cool. Wow, okay.
It's kind of like a very much an expanded idea on Into the Dalek, because at the end you feel like the Dalek kind of understands what the Doctor sees, what the Doctor's about. But I like the idea of a Dalek being assigned the task to study the Doctor and then end up falling in love. It's the story of River Song, really, but with a Dalek.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's like River Song mixed with Taskmaster from Black Widow. It's like a bit of both. It's like a mesh of the two. I like it. I want it. Make it happen.
Wow.
Again, call Jason. Speaking of which...
Oh.
To select audio navigation, press enter now. Welcome to the final part of the Big Finish story.
You know, we'd had I won't name drop, but some very big actors and producers who were Big Finish fans who've gone on to do a lot of stuff. They'd said, oh, the relationship between Charlie and the Doctor is amazing, and it was such an amazing cliffhanger where he goes, I am Zagreus at the end of it, and you didn't know what's going to happen next, and we made you wait a year. Because, well, yeah, it wasn't intentional, I don't think, but it was because we knew we wanted Zagreus to come out for the anniversary, and that was our 40th anniversary story. So the anticipation was there. And Paul McGann had never done a convention. And Paul didn't want to do a convention. He's very honest about this now, because he felt it wasn't for him. He thought you needed to be, because Paul's actually quite quiet, and he's quite, and he's a very lovely man, but he's very quiet and he's quite, he's quite private, and he's not one for doing great big interviews and all the rest of it. He never has been, and so he's like, I'm not doing a convention. It's not me. It's for Sylvester. You always used to say it's for Sylvester. Sylvester's got this gregarious personality. He can get up on stage and entertain people as himself. That's not me. So it's not for me. But what interestingly happened is they did the 40th anniversary Doctor Who magazine poll, and from the whole 40 years, Paul McGann was the favourite Doctor.
Wow.
With India Fisher as best companion, beating out Elizabeth Sladen. And this was the hype and the push which was happening around the McGann series and Zagreus coming out.
And 2003.
That was 2003, yes, for the 40th. So that came as a bit of a shock, because we were like, because it's always been Tom Baker and Elizabeth Sladen, Sarah Jane Smith. And it was like, geez, right. So it was like, well, India can make it. They were doing an award ceremony with UK Gold in the evening of the Saturday at Panopticon. And they were going to give out these prizes. I've got one at home. And they were giving out these prizes, which were for all these different things. Best Doctor Who story ever.
Yeah.
Best this, best that. Great. And it was for favourite Doctor, and it was Paul winning it. So I contacted him and said, Paul, you've just won favourite Doctor. And he was like, what? Because what? Because it's like, no, the audios are really important to people. There is no Doctor Who on television. For a very long time, people, they saw the movie, which Paul did in 96, as the last chance for Doctor Who, for a revival. And they didn't think anything would come. So... him doing the continuation was very important to fandom. So I convinced him to do the convention, and he was like, oh. So I went and picked him up at his London flat, took him to the convention, and he was so nervous. I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying this, because we've talked about it on stage, but he was so nervous that he was like, let's go and have a drink. And I was like, Paul, you're supposed to be a special guest, a surprise guest. And, you know, we're going to sneak you on stage and everyone's going to go ballistic because you're here. He wasn't convinced that they really wanted him there. So he was like, no, let's go to the bar. What he wanted to do in the bar was not have a drink. He wanted to just bump into some fans just to see if they were, like, going to be... And obviously, it's a bit like... In this convention now, if Shooty Gatwa turned up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, oh my God, it's the Doctor. You know, it's the present Doctor. And it was an amazing moment where he suddenly realised, oh, they really like me and they really like what I did. Oh, this is good. And then a very few people saw him in the bar. I was like, really shouldn't be here. And we went backstage and then news went very slowly because there was 1,200 people there and it got round a little bit, I think, that he was there. But a lot of people would be going, no, he isn't. He's not coming. He said he'd never do a convention. He's not coming. So we got... we were behind stage and it was me, Paul, in India. And we got introduced and we came out. And they'd shown a video montage of stuff from the film, the 96 movie. And everyone was like, is Paul McGann here? And then we were announced and we came out and the whole place erupted. And I've never seen... It was like, you know, a football stadium when you win... You slot home the winning goal. It was like, ah, it was amazing. And I saw Paul go from really nervous, like, oh, are they going to like me, to walking on stage, and suddenly he was like... And he literally does that on the video. He was like, because he was like, oh, thank God, they like me. And that was, that, you know, the first phase of Big Finish happened during the Wilderness years. And that culminated in that night, I think, where, you know, our doctor, our companion, were on stage and everyone was just so happy to see them because they loved what they were doing on the audio adventures. And, and Paul still to this day is one of our best-selling doctors because he's so well-supported and so well-thought of. And, you know, he will say himself, you know, all my work is basically with Big Finish as the Doctor. That was the beginnings of Big Finish, from getting the licence, putting an advert in Doctor Who magazine, putting a disc on 2000, and culminating with us being at Panopticon in 2003 and looking out and everyone being so happy that Paul and India were there. And it was funny because India... once said she didn't realise how much people were buying into her character and how supported they were of her until that day. Wow. Because she felt that made her an inverted commas proper companion. Because she was like, oh, they do get this and they do want me to be here. So it was a very cathartic moment. Now you can't stop Paul from going to conventions. He's everywhere because he really does like it, because he's a very personable person, but he's a very private person. But he likes the fact that people like what he does, and he will go and he will chat about it, which is lovely. So there we go, the beginnings of Big Finish.
Thank you so much, that was perfect. We'll wrap it there.
End of final part. Crispy, I've got to be honest with you, how have you sat on that for a year? How have you managed this?
I honestly don't know. I intended very much to make a video essay out of this, but then it was around the time I stopped doing video essays. And so I don't know why I've been sat on such a goldmine of an interview, because I kind of forgot how insightful that was.
What? I'm just sorry. I'm really distracted. I was listening, but the video finished on our screens and it's reset to the start and it's just Jason staring down the barrel of the camera.
Yeah.
He's looking into my
soul. He's looking at you.
If you can, I don't know if you'd be able, on the video version, just show the picture I'm seeing right now.
I'll show the opening
just him
frame.
Looking like this with the mic. Just That's staring funny. Me in the face. Like, because the funniest thing is, it's like just over my microphone from where I'm sat. So it's like he's peeking over my microphone. He's took a snip of it. Thank you very much, sir. But that's fascinating. And the thing I just said to you while we were watching that there, especially with India Fisher saying, you know, she felt validated by actually seeing the audience response, reminds me so much of Mandip Gill when she did her first Comic-Con with Jodie and she had her panel. I think it was... I think it was the one she did with Jodie where she basically just said, you know, it was like she finally got to see that what she'd done had meant something to fans. I mean, especially for their era where it was flamed by so many people, her saying, you know, all these people came out to see us and tell us what our work meant to them. It really validated it for them. And she's done several conventions since. Like, it's a tale as old as time, as they say. And it's cool to see it happening even back in 2003. But
yeah,
the idea of Paul McGann being nervous for a convention.
I love that. That whole story is so beautiful and so poetic. And yeah, we have to remember that Doctor Who was off the air. And at the time, Paul McGann was their current Doctor.
And I think he needs to go to the doctors, to be fair. He needs to get his spine looked at, because carrying Doctor Who for that long will not have done his spine any good.
You know what? I hear it's still acting up today.
It's still much like Sacha Dhawan. You know, he's not Sacha Dhawan carrying Series 12 on his back.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness gracious.
A lot of back injuries in Doctor Who. A lot of back injuries.
Absolutely. But I like the bit he mentioned where, like, Paul would kind of compare himself to Sylvester, because I feel like, yeah, Sylvester's kind of more of, like, you know, maybe the natural showman, a bit more, you know, out and about, and Paul is very much more reserved. And so the fact that he was shy, and the fact that he was, yeah, kind of voted with India as the best Doctor Companion duo, beating Tom Baker and Elizabeth Sladen.
Yeah, that's insane.
That is crazy. And what an honor and what a testament. And, like, well done to Jason, Nick Briggs and everyone at the Big Finish team at the time.
Right.
Because you really did make an impact.
Claps.
You really did make an impact. So all I have to say is thank you.
Yeah, recency bias can only get you so far. You'll have some people who say, oh, well, a lot of those votes because he was the one putting out content and everyone was listening. But, you know, it's got to be really good, and he's got to be carrying the franchise to be voted the best Doctor. Like, to outweigh the popularity of Tom Baker, recency bias can't do that alone. Like, that is a testament to the quality of what they were putting out, which I think is really cool. And yeah, as you said, I mean, that just reminds me of the panel Sylvester did with Sophie Aldred at the Comic-Con last year, where I met Karen Gillan. They had a panel, and I remember at one point there was a guy on stage interviewing them, and Sylvester just took a mic and started going into the audience and getting people to ask questions. Like, the poor host was sat there like,
oh, really?
Why am I even here? Sylvester was, like, just hitting people on the head with mics and being like, what's your question? And then just sitting down next to people while they answer. Like, yeah, he has that, as Simon said, that gregarious personality where he's like a duck to water in that. But Paul McGann, like, yeah, he's super quiet and super almost reserved, yeah, but he also feels very much like he's at home when he's at a convention. So the idea that he wasn't like that when it first all started off is really interesting. It's really, really interesting.
Very sweet. Very sweet. Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm lost for words. I
think that's a good way to end this episode with a big finish.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Well done,
Thank
Troy.
You very much.
Good
Thank
job.
You. That's how Doctor Who survived the 90s. That's thanks to Paul McGann, India Fisher, Jason, and everyone else involved at Big Finish.
Correct.
That was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But there you go. That is episode 100 and... what episode are you number even on? I'm losing track. 103.
103, yeah.
We're old.
My
We're
goodness
old.
Gracious me. But thank you, everyone, Crazy. For listening. Go and buy a Big Finish box set today. Go and do that.
Go
or if you're in the mood to spend a little bit more cash, go and check out our Patreon so we can keep the lights on.
Yeah, I was going to say, patreon.com/WhoIsEDW. And we're going to play a fun game with the audience real quick, just to wrap it up. Crispy and I had a chat earlier, and we have planned out some episodes. We're podcast with a plan, and we're going to give you a 3-second silence. We're on episode 103. Guess what episode we've planned up to? 3, 2, 1, 0. The correct answer was 116. If you got it right, give yourself a pat on the back and eat a cookie and pretend it's a cookie from us. We did some planning, and we're cooking. We got some cool things.
We got some stuff in the pipeline, folks.
We do. It's
exciting.
Definitely not because 8 of those, those episodes are to do with season 1. Not at all.
No. What?
No. But we got cool things planned for even those, haven't we, Crispy?
Oh, yeah. Faux show.
Some live episodes, perhaps a guest or two.
Or 17.
17? What, on one episode? That might be a bit too much for public forum, I fear.
17 DVDs.
Oh,
all right, let's
chaotic.
Keep it going. I mean, keep life going, as in we go and live our lives.
Oh, we're
going
to go and do other things. All right, well, thank you all for listening. We're going to go and keep life going now. That's a good figure of speech to end
and
this
you,
episode.
Everyone listening
going.
Today, yeah, keep life going.
If you're ever feeling down, remember that at one point, Crispy Pro told you on Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast, episode 103, to keep life going.
Yep.
That's inspirational. I kind of want to just end there. There you go.
Okay, bye, everyone.
No, thank you all for watching. We'll see you all next week with episode 104, where we talk about something else. Should we tease it? Are you feeling... The problem is, anything we tease now, whenever news comes out, it can jeopardize it.
Yeah, it could jeopardize it instantly.
However, people will already see that the topic's gone out, so we could still tease it, and if something happens, we change it up. But...
Yep.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, well, what we're planning to do is investigate the world of Doctor Who video games. Has there ever been a good one? What would you like from a Doctor Who video game? We'll talk about all of it and more next week, unless there's news, which is entirely possible. So we'll see you next week for an episode of Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast, whatever it may be. Until then, it is goodbye from Crispy.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye. See you all next week in episode 104. Alan Z, baby, and keep life going.